With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to Petty Little Things with your hosts, Victoria Secret and Davina Devine.
Hey, petty bitches. This is Davina Devine.
And this is Victorian Secrets.
Hello and welcome and happy Pride Month. It is June. We finally made it. It's our second year in lockdown Pride.
Yeah. When you say June, by the way, I remember thinking January was never going to end. And now I can't believe we're in June.
I know. It's absolutely nuts. Like, where has the year gone? But here we are again. Still locked in semi. And yeah, we're still waiting to get back onto the stage. We're just saying that obviously we know society is moving, but we're just talking personally.
Yeah. It's great to see things. But before that, this episode is kind of a bit of a Pride theme because we're very aware it's another virtual year and we want to have some fab little conversations. Davina's lined up some great people. We'll come to that in a while. We also asked you all for some fun Pride stories, but before all that, I think let's get into a bit of a
deep dive hot topic.
Girly gossip.
Wow.
Who was our imaginary conductor this week? I think we need an imaginary conductor every week.
Well, actually, do you know what? Funnily, you mentioned this, and because it was the news lineup, when I was walking up here today, I'm going to share actually something really sweet. And I am so glad that you just played that because I would have forgot. As I was walking up here, I was walking up the canals and I saw Anne Doyle.
Oh, the icon, the legend, the star.
She is a fucking queen.
Queen.
So she was sitting on
the bob.
She was sitting on the canal and she was helping this homeless man who'd fallen over and he had cut all his head and she was sitting, she was comforting him and she was being so, so kind. Like,
yeah,
I had to, I kind of, I was like, is that, that is Anne Doyle.
Give you goosebumps a little bit.
I've met Anne a couple times. She's such a lovely person. Yeah. But when I saw that, I was like, she's a queen.
Yeah, absolutely.
Really sweet.
Did you clock her because of the hair though?
She's very glamorous.
She's very glamorous.
She's very glamorous.
Was her lipstick on?
She looked really good, but I felt so sorry for the poor man. Like, he had his head all cut and she's been very sweet.
And we salute you. We don't do icons of the week, but you're going to be icon of the week.
She is. She's always a proper gay icon.
Absolutely.
So listen, there's been lots happening in the world, hasn't there?
Yeah.
In our world, but like in the world.
I mean, that's a lie. We've been doing loads.
We have been doing
loads.
We're just
still in our fucking sitting rooms.
Yeah, it's true.
We've gotten to celebrate Pride with lots of you virtually with your companies and stuff like that. And we look forward to doing more of that.
Corporate events.
But the bars are back open.
They are back open, which I actually, speaking of that, I went to the George last night for the first time. I had a little drinking night with my pals.
I went three times last week, girl.
Did you?
Yeah.
Well, this is my first time drinking in there. Like, obviously, we've been doing our shows and stuff from there. Obviously, we were doing a few shots.
Just Diet Cokes.
But, I mean, we're actually punters there. It was really nice to see people.
Yeah.
But I'm not the better of it today.
Oh, God. You're fine. You seem fine.
I feel a bit more alive now. And that's why I kind of walked up here because I was like,
floated into my apartment.
I was just hungover. I was like, literally just you know.
Oh, do you know what? I'll treat you to a lift home after this.
Oh, lovely. Thanks.
It
was nice. I had a really good time. It was great to see people. But you know what actually just freaks me out? And it's something that you just do naturally. Like, I saw some friends of mine who don't live in Dublin anymore, and they were obviously up for the weekend, and they're like, oh my god, hey. And yeah, you haven't seen these people in like over a year. It's like, oh my god, hi. I went over and we were chatting, and I was like, hey, I was hugging everyone, like, yeah, which is probably not ideal.
Oh, well, this is on my list, so I'm glad you brought this
and
up.
Then the lovely Connie Whelan, who did our show,
yeah,
who Connie is on Instagram, and Connie does all these fab drag race recreations.
Yeah,
I've never actually met Connie.
Yeah,
like I met her in drag.
She was there when the nights I went as well. But
I had never met her out of drag, and she clocked me, and she was like, "Oh my god, hi!" And I met her in drag lots of times, but to me, it was like kind of meeting for the first time. And I was like, "Hey!" And with that, then deal, the manager comes over, and she's like, you can't be mingling with tables. My fault, because you know so many people.
Yeah.
And it's like,
a long year and a half.
It's really weird. And I was just so delighted to see people, but restrictions are restrictions.
Yeah, and they're there for a reason. And I'm gonna be serious for a second, okay? Yeah. Because we're all getting excited that things are starting to open. Mm-hmm. What I'd like to remind people is people need to continue to be able to work. So especially our friends in the bar trade, like, it's so important to them right now that they don't get COVID. Do you know what I mean? Getting COVID, one, that means that a whole bar team could get wiped out. So don't hug the bouncers. Elbow if you want. And like, we obviously, lots of you are friends with them. Don't hug the drag queens, because we're hoping to eventually get back on stage. And we're going to try and remember that too. And I have to say, I hugged people the first time I was there.
It's hard.
And I woke up the next day and I was like, you're a stupid bitch. Like don't
it's
do
hard,
it.
It's hard though, because it's like you're
you want to embrace them.
You're human. Like, I'm a hugger. If I see someone, I'm like,
oh, well, I'm not.
Yeah, no, I see. Like, well, obviously hug the people I want to hug. Do you know what I mean? Amanda, hug and kiss.
I'm more of a deep tonguer. I'm not a hugger. Yeah. I'm like,
there you are. Like David Guest and Liza Minnelli, tongue down the neck. Yeah, so, and it's funny that we mentioned that, because England has changed their plan. They were supposed to open up on June 21st, and they've moved back now to the 19th of May.
Yeah.
Like, what? Because I know you know some of the girls and stuff over there in the UK. So how does that affect
business? To be honest, like, the drags are thriving in a weird way, because they need entertainment. Mm. It's a seated scenario.
Right now
it's not actually the worst time to be a drag, if that makes sense. And I know some people hate when people say a drag, but I'm sorry, just to put it out there, a drag. They're like, they're working, they're DJing, they're doing little like chill shows. You can't do it too crazy. So I think they're okay, because they're already in a flow of doing that. There's lots of people who have bought tickets for things, who have invested in events happening, and I'd say they're so fucking frustrated. Yeah.
Do you know, I was reading an article, Andrew Lloyd Webber has told the government, like, this last week, was in the, he's like, I'm opening my theatres on June 21st.
Yeah.
And he's remortgaged his house, and he owns 6 theatres in the West End. I didn't know that.
Oh, wow, I didn't know that either.
And he's like, these theatres have to open. The cast need to get back. We need this back. And he's like, arrest me. I'm opening the fucking theatres. So he's determined to go back, but I don't know how this is going to go. I think this is going to be a big setback for a lot of people.
A big one. And I don't even know if within 4 weeks is it going to be able to be a turnaround. Like, I admire Andrew's position and what he's saying, if that makes sense.
But soul destroying.
Yeah.
And I was talking to a couple of the staff and the Georgians, we were talking about it, and I don't want to come back in a half measure vibe. I don't like anything in half measures, and I'm doubles. Mm-hmm. And it's a weird vibe, isn't it?
Yeah.
I know things will not be the same straight away, but I don't want this. I just don't want that.
No, me neither. I did enjoy table service, because I do enjoy
table
service.
That's quite nice. Yeah, I did. Nice. I quite like that.
And,
that was
and
nice.
Props to the George. They're doing very quick. Very fucking quick. Which, by the way, is not said enough. The gay bars know how to fucking fuck out a drink as quick as possible. Yeah. And then we go to a straight bar and I'm like, oh my God, I'm waiting for days. And then every girl gets served before me and I'm rotted. But anyway, what I was going to say was, so the gigs that I'm supposed to go back on, which I go back on the 26th of June, I'm not going to do the London day on the Friday because we're working here. Mm-hmm. And I'm nervous of it because I got so drunk at the one gig I did in Belfast last time that, you know, afterwards I had to hide in the back room, and Blue and Bagger were like, come on, let's get a photo. And I thought I was going to vomit. I was like, I'm so drunk, I'm not going near them for a photo. I was like, no, you girls go ahead. And I had the hiccups and I was like,
I got
shit faced with the excitement of being back.
Hilarious.
So the gigs that I'm
so are they
going to
go ahead?
They are going to go ahead, and they're splitting the crowd into fucking seating, which is going to take, it's a nightmare for the tour people, but stuff has to start happening.
But do you know, it's all these kind of like twists,
the Dublin
turns
one,
and pivots.
By the way,
the
Dublin one. And, like, we're recording this ahead of time, I'll have announced it by that time. You'll all be getting refunds for that Jackie and Lemon one.
That's a pity. Speaking of Bagga, actually, I saw that they're lining her up for Strictly. They want her to be a same-sex couple. I saw that.
Can she dance? Because I've seen her try and dance, and I don't know if she's a dancer.
I don't know, but apparently she's same. Like, apparently that's, I only just saw that by chance. So who knows? Bagga for Strictly, perhaps? Who knows?
That could be exciting. Mm-hmm. I drove drove through the Enchanted Town. You know, they're filming Disney's Enchanted 2.
Yeah.
What's that town called? Because we used to go to Poppy's. The little cafe there. We used to love a bit of Poppy's. Do you remember? You got a little cake and you know, some cream, clotted cream.
I remember April and our friend April Sharers and Claire Void.
Yeah.
They went for a day trip out to Enniskerry and April made Claire buy her lunch and Poppy's and Claire be very frugal now with the money.
Very frugal.
And April had the works because April was a big girl, liked her food.
Yeah, yeah.
And I always remember Poppy's because Claire was moaning about being robbed in Poppy's.
Fucking gas.
Yeah.
She was. I think I was there. I think April might even made her pay for mine as well.
Wouldn't be surprised.
Probably. Come here. My pipes are clogged again.
Is this a metaphor?
No, for real. So okay. I think I got the plumber out again today and it was another 80 quid. So I'm looking to the petty. Is there any petty plumbers? Because now I need a new plumber.
Okay.
I keep getting an airlock in them and I don't know why.
Can I make a prediction? I think the rat is.
You are leave me alone. Leave me alone. You're a bully and a bitch. What are you? A bully and a bitch.
Rats out. Rats out. I think there's a rat stuck in that. That's,
it's fucking stuck again. Yeah. I
do you know what?
That's how. Kettle in. That's kettle in to the shower.
Oh, well,
like olden days.
Do you know that's how they found? Remember in that serial killer Dez?
Yeah.
So he was like cutting up people and flushing them in the toilet and doing all weird things with like the bodies, and that's how there was an airlock in the dino rat had to come out. So somebody upstairs could be murderer.
Speaking of that,
yeah,
I'm not putting the baby wipes down the toilet like some of them
no
queens are.
Because baby wipes down the toilets, it's disgusting.
Well, we learned our lesson and I'm gonna say it. Our friend had an apartment, a very nice apartment.
Oh my god, I know
her flatmate used to flush the baby wipes down.
Lillian Demeanor,
right? And she also did drag, but she flushed so many of them down the toilet that it blocked it completely and you couldn't use that toilet. And actually, to be honest, I think people still were having to pee in that toilet every now and then because the stench used to be fucking terrible.
It was in an ensuite, and I remember like I'd go, could we get ready there sometimes?
Yeah.
It honestly smelled like somebody had died and they were like, oh, there's nothing to see here. It's like the body was decaying in the shower. Yeah. Like it was foul. I'll never forget it.
The poor dino rod man had to come out and every single thing that had gone down that toilet in the previous 6 months had to come back up.
Jesus,
do you remember?
It was all Boots cucumber wipes. Do you remember them?
Because they were the cheapest. Like now, those days are gone. I won't use that. And that's not Johnson's wipe anymore. Like,
well, I love those makeup remover pads. Yes. They're actually amazing. So if anyone out there is looking to get away from wipes, there's these kind of like, I don't think they're a brand. So you can buy them in pharmacies and stuff like that. I don't know the name, but they're like furry kind of circle pads, and you just
you bought me
and you only need water, like literally, like obviously use your cleanser.
I need a bit of oil.
Use your oil to break it all down, but the water will actually just wash it off.
Yeah,
and they last up to, I think they're the equivalent of like 1,000 wipes.
It's insane,
and your skin feels so much better. Yeah. So invest in these.
Okay, let's get into the Spice Girls. They're coming back.
They are back.
Are they back?
They're coming right back at you.
I mean, there's rumors that they were going to do a 25-year tour.
I knew that wasn't going to happen.
A tour, and they're selling it as it's like new music from all five members. I think that's bullshit.
Well, we have talked about this. You know how passionate I am about the Spice Girls. Get some fucking new music.
Yeah.
Like,
it's an old demo.
This old demo that's probably really dated and it's probably a really shit song. Yeah. And it didn't make it for a reason.
Uh-huh.
So why now just giving us this like regurgitated shit?
Mm-hmm.
Like, no.
Do you know why?
Get off your arse. Get in the studio. What are you doing?
Yeah, because they want to sell some merch. So to celebrate, it says we're releasing a limited edition vinyl and cassette. I don't even know cassettes. People want cassettes anymore. Featuring Wannabe original single, Wannabe Junior Vasquez.
That's crap. Remix is so shit.
Wannabe previously unreleased demo and previously unreleased demo called Feed Your Love.
Okay.
It's the single, Feed Your Love. The track shall be released digitally on the 9th of July and the vinyl and cassette following on the 20th. This just feels like they want to shift product.
But last week I saw also that Victoria Beckham's brand has done a t-shirt. Did you see that?
Yeah.
If you want to be my lover.
For Pride.
For Pride, yeah.
Like
And when I look, I zoomed in and they had pictures of all the girls wearing the t-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry's photo, I had it on my Twitter there last week. Jerry's photo, that was photoshopped. She was dressed all in white and the logo was photoshopped. She wasn't even wearing the t-shirt.
Geraldine Horner.
Like, how lazy can you be? What are these people like? And these are people I looked up to.
I know.
Like, it's so, I think it's real disrespectful.
Yeah.
It's disrespectful. I saw that too.
I clocked it straight away.
Like, I'm not, and when you see the likes of, say, Steps, that have come back and actually do new music, make an effort, putting on tours, like actually seeming like they like each other.
Yeah.
This just seems like a cash grab. Yeah. And I'm not here for it.
Jerry, get the t-shirt on, will you? Because
shame on you. Shame on you.
Yes, shameful Spice.
Yeah.
Very good. Okay.
Absolutely.
And let me see. What
Let's
else?
Get into a bit of TV for a second.
Yes. Oh, hottest stories that we're all probably obsessed with. You know, we love the Real Housewives.
Yes.
Of course. And if those of you have been binging Real Housewives of Beverly Hills and are aware of the Erica Jane drama that's been going on. The Erica Jane...
dying for this episode
this
week.
Her husband, Tom Girardi, is being investigated by the FBI for fraud and scamming orphans and out of like inheritance and compensation claims. Yeah. And it's all going to be on the new season.
Yeah.
And this week is when it kind of
kicks off.
Yeah, so,
she announced their divorce. So I'm gagging for it. Love in New York. But other than that, I tried a new show with Kirsten Dunst.
Yes.
Called On Becoming a God in Central Florida.
She hasn't been around in a while.
She looks great.
She looks the same.
She looks the same, but actually with a little bit of aging in a positive way.
Okay.
Like, you know, not frozen in
gracefully.
Time. So it's about like a pyramid sales scheme in Florida. It's very like kind of 80s, hicky, loving it. It's only one season because it got cancelled because of COVID. It was supposed to come in. Loving that.
Yeah.
Are you watching anything?
I have watched... the Mayor of Easttown wrapped up.
Yes.
And you know, I was hooked on that. It's so good.
Okay.
And I didn't even talk about it the last time. I was a little, my mind was elsewhere. But yeah, I was obsessed. Okay. Like, obsessed. Really, really great. Love Kate Winslet. And I wonder, I know that they kind of tied.
Oh my God. Guys, just leave it. It's fine. Just leave it. Davina just knocked my Waterford crystal glass over.
Oh my God.
And it almost smashed, but thankfully, because it's from IKEA, it's made of stern stuff. But it didn't smash.
How far did that roll? This is a small apartment.
Fucking gas.
I'm talking with my hands here. I'm like, woo! I'm like one of those air things that you see outside a garage. Yeah. You know what it is? Woo! So the Mayor of Easttown was fab. So check that out.
I'm going to get into Drag Race, and you will have some commentary that you can do on this, right? So first off, I'm going to start with Drag Race Down Under. I found it very hard to get into, and I think I know why.
People were saying,
I think I know why, and you're okay. Agree. The Kiwis, I'm really warm into. They seem like great crack. The Aussies just aren't reading very well.
Is this because from New Zealand?
Yeah, so it's New Zealand and Australia.
Oh, okay.
The Aussies are reading kind of cool. Like, as in, like, cold a little bit. And it's hard to kind of root for any of them in a weird way.
Can I make an observation?
That's why I want your opinion on.
In my experience, not all, but a lot of Australian people are very cool.
Yeah.
Very, like, not very warm.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, when we went to Mardi Gras, like, I've been over in Australia a few times. Not the warmest.
Mm-hmm.
Warmest, like, in the climate, yes.
Yeah.
But not the friendliest of peoples.
Yeah.
Like,
so I don't think they're coming across very well. And
but you know, I think it's just their way.
Yeah.
It's not like, I don't think it's like a personal, they're not like bad people. It's just they have a very kind of dry.
Yeah. I think you could be right.
I'm obviously not like generalizing, but
translate very well for the show.
Yeah.
You want to root for people. You want to feel like, oh, I really like that person.
Yeah.
And
well,
really,
obviously, the Americans are so over the top and so out there. And then the English have a certain way. And us as Irish people, we're very emotive and very kind of like pour our hearts out. And when
real. And I think we search for real. And the UK, to be fair to them, that's what they deliver is real people on the telly with the Drag Race.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's something not connecting. However, I'm team Ketamine for this. Drag Race Spain is also on at the moment.
Okay.
Wild girl.
Is RuPaul doing that as well?
No. Some queen who only has one wig and they keep restyling it every week is the host. It's a dark root with grey hair.
And is it in English or Espanol?
In Espanol. And you know what? I like to think I'm fluent in Spanish because
you can say
there. I was there for 8 weeks in Barcelona one summer.
Yeah, that's we never heard the end of it.
All Star 6 cast was announced, and I actually think you're going to watch this. Yeah, All Star 6.
Oh, okay.
I think you're going to watch this because
I'm not. I'll just
girl,
say
it's
that.
Mostly the cast from old seasons that you did watch.
I know, but you know, I don't care about them anymore. To be honest, I'm just over the format. It just does nothing for me. Like I can't even pretend. I'm sorry.
Well, that's me told to I'm fuck sorry, right off,
just,
isn't it?
Like, good luck to them all. Congratulations. I can't watch that.
Okay, speaking of drag queens, Kardashians just wrapped up their final ever season. 20 fucking seasons.
15 years.
And they're doing their first ever reunion.
Now this, I didn't actually really watch Kardashians. The only time Kardashians ever were on was when I was hungover.
Okay, fair.
Like, I just think it's real mindless TV. It's very easy to just have on. And it's just crap, like, uh-huh. Yeah. And it's so overproduced, isn't it? Like, it's just
I feel controlled. Their lives actually got too crazy off camera, yeah, that they have to wrap it up, because yeah, Kanye and Kim and Chloe and that beautiful man Tristan, like, their drama was, you couldn't write that.
No. And I actually just saw the last episode because I was hungover.
Okay, yeah.
And I was watching that. They said, I'm excited about the reunion because I love an Andy Cohen reunion, because I think he asks the questions that people want to know. And yeah, obviously people will send in questions.
And he's a big enough star that he's allowed to ask the questions.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes we interview people and I'm like, oh, I really want to ask this, yeah, but like,
it's not appropriate or whatever. Yeah. And you think Ryan Seacrest is just too, what would you say? He's too sweet. Polished. Yeah, too pink to be pure.
Yeah.
So I think Andy Cohen's a great. So I will watch that. That's and it is.
And it's a reunion for all 20 seasons. So they're going to go back over every, yeah, drama that was had and ask the hard-hitting questions.
Do you know, it's so funny because people are like, oh, the Kardashians, they either love them or hate them, whatever. I'm like, but everybody knows they're, regardless, yeah, if, yeah, you...
I like them.
I'm indifferent. Yeah. I really am. Like, I'm not...
I'm definitely like the Chloe and you're more the Courtney of...
I am definitely not Courtney. I'm like the anti-Courtney. I'm like everything that's... I do everything that's bad. But you know, they were doing the time capsule. Did you see that?
Yeah, saw that.
What did Kim put in?
She put in her sex tape.
Did she?
No, she didn't. Would you go away? Oh, I'm just winding you up.
Did she put in her fragrance?
She put in her first fragrance.
So that's... basically when she put in the fragrance, I was like, oh my god, I had that fragrance.
Yeah,
I was like, I love that fragrance. Yeah. So I went online and I bought it.
Oh, nice.
Like, because I bought it like years ago, and I remember I wasn't sure. She had two, well, she actually had a few, but one of them, I'm not sure if it was her first or second, there's one called Gold, which is actually very, uh-huh, nice. I
think this was Dashing. It was called Dashing.
Well, she had one that was like, she, I think Kim loves the scent of like roses and gardenias and all that, and I hate, like, it makes me sick. I'm not a fan of those scents. So yeah, so I got the Gold because I was like, for old time's sake, the Kardashians is ending. And even though it's only true a big conglomerate, it's not even coming from her. But I love, yeah, a celebrity fragrance. You know,
you
I do.
You do. You're obsessed with them. I think we need to do a little wetter of the week because we forgot, yes, last time.
Okay. And we were kind of trying to decide, and there are so many people that are just making us damp on the daily. So,
oh, we're going to get mold soon if we don't get this, yeah, damp out.
So who is our wetter of the week?
Our wetter of the week
And we did actually decide jointly on this.
Yeah.
Which is sometimes difficult to do.
Yeah. This is a throwback, right? Proper throwback. Because it's a sports episode, related later on, we decided we need a sports star. And we decided that...
Only one, though. It's like actually just... Well, there's so many.
Sports star
is... Sonia Sullivan.
It is Jamie Redknapp.
Oh, ooh, the way you said that, real sexy. Jamie Redknapp is a wetter, and he is definitely a damp yoke. Jamie, I think he played for... Who did he play for? Was it Liverpool?
He was Liverpool, yeah. And I mean, I couldn't tell you anything about...
He played with my heartstrings. That's what he played with,
And he
was
married to Louise from Eternal.
Yeah, and that's really why we were interested, because we were a big fan of Louise.
There he is there.
Yeah, Victoria's showing me pics. Oh my God, is that dick pic? No, it's on. And he's aged really well.
Really well. So yeah, if you agree with our wetter of the week, let us know. If you disagree, yeah, also let us know. We love a bit of banter. So,
or if you want to be a wetter of the week, send us in your pics.
Speaking of that, we're going to do one more call out, because I think next week we're going to record our reaction to Dirty Irish Twitter. We got actually a good few far. So yeah, if you know of any Dirty Irish Twitter accounts...
Are the Twitters... individual people, or are they like just random clips of loads of people?
I haven't really got into them because I'm afraid of like seeing too much and I want to react properly, but I think some people just retweet other Irish people.
Okay.
And some are doing like their own lots of content.
Okay.
Yeah, so we're kind of curious for that.
And why would people do Twitter when they could do OnlyFans?
I don't know. Oh, because some people just are like show-offs and just want as much attention as possible. Also, I think it leads to more people clicking onto your OnlyFans. Like, like us right now when we're about to promote our Patreon.
Very good. What a segue. What a segue. And it is a very...
we're going to pause for a petty promotional moment.
Yes, absolutely.
We are going to kick things off by reminding you that you can listen to a bonus episode every second week on our Patreon. Mm-hmm. You can join from as little as €2. We have a brand new episode that just went up called Davina and Victoria versus Victoria Real Housewives.
Yes.
You took it very fucking seriously.
I did. I when I'm passionate about a topic, like Real Housewives,
yeah,
I get really into it.
She was rocking back and forth like it was The Exorcist. And mm-hmm. she was like, oh, I know this. Well, like, yeah. I thought there was going to be a poison poo popping out of you any minute. You weren't taking it that seriously. So that's a brand new video up at the moment. Our Patreon person of the week, it is, we're going to go to Canada. Would you like to go to Canada?
I would love to go to Canada. You know
Stuart
I love
Stuart Parnell is our...
Hi, Stewie. How are yeah. you? Oh, I love Stewie.
Yeah, Stewie signed up not too long ago, actually. So big shout out to you in Canada.
I hope it's all gone well.
We'd like some maple syrup, please. Oh, especially yeah. if there's vodka in it. Vodka infused maple syrup would be lovely. Send us that.
And a few Mounties.
But what's coming up this Friday on our Patreon, Davina?
This Friday we are doing a Pride Patreon exclusive event. Mm-hmm. It's so exclusive and secretive that we don't even know what it's going to be yet.
We do.
We're kicking off at 9 p.m. on our Patreon. If you want to sign up, do go to patreon.com/pettylittlethings.
And we have a major prize to give away as part of it. It is a gorgeous... Actually, it's fucking tons of alcohol. We're giving you tons of alcohol. One person's going to walk away.
The RuPaul's of alcohol.
Absolutely. And this is your reminder to tell one person about the podcast. So, like... Ring up your granny and say, Granny, you need to hear this dirty story Davina's after telling them petty little things. You can't miss it. Tune in now.
Dying wish.
And while we're promoting, I just wanted to promote two more things that are not associated with that. I want to talk about Aviva's campaign because it is sports related today. They're doing Lace Up with Pride, it's called.
Okay.
It's rainbow laces. You can get them in Elvery Sports at the moment. They're €4. The money goes towards charity. And it's a great way of showing support with... Gorgy new laces.
Absolutely. And I think as well, it would have been Pride Month, and I was just going to say this earlier on, is that like we were very aware that in Waterford this month that the flags were taken down and burned.
Bastards.
And then they were redone and they were taken down a second time.
Yeah.
So
shout out to Waterford guys at the moment. You're going through it.
Totally. And this is why Pride is important. It's like, you know, when those events kind of happen and like it's not even the act, it's what's behind that.
Well, listen, it's throwing obviously a lot of things out there. Like obviously there was graffiti put on the side of panty bar, the same thing happened to the George before. Pride Month is, they're seeing it very visible, which means we're doing a good job because it's visible and they feel like they want to push back. So make sure you
that is why Pride is important. That's when people say, why do you need Pride, you've got marriage equality, because of things like this is still happening. It's happening on the daily. And keep the conversation going. Keep talking about it and be supportive.
Yeah, and one more thing, because we are talking to out sports stars later on, is that I got an email from Fergal from Nigel Erica. Now, I hope I said that right because I'm no Gael Gore.
Let me see. Where is it? I am.
Because you are. You did win the Gael Gore competition. They're Ireland's first queer inclusive GAA LGFA team. They've got football, hurling, camogie, and it's for all genders. You don't need to be LGBTQ+, and they welcome absolutely everyone. But the point is to have a club that's accessible to queer people, to have an outlet for sport. They're having a merchandise launch yesterday, it was at 7 p.m. So maybe go check that out as well. So it's Nigel Erica, and I'm going to spell that N-A, and then the next word is G-A-E-I-L, and then the last word is A-E-O-R-A-C-H-A, because God knows it's probably not pronounced
Araka,
right.
Is it
Araka? I'm sure people will tweet us.
That's amazing. And I think those more things like that,
that's
accessible and inclusive, because that's what it's about. It's about feeling included.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think we'll take a little break and we'll be back with juicy Pride stories.
And we're back.
We are back. And we put a little call out on our Insta to all our Insta Petty friends for funny Pride stories, because obviously we're not having a real Pride this year. We're having a virtual. And so we miss
all
it.
All we have is our memories.
Which
people were very inclusive. People gave us some really fun stories.
Really fun ones.
Some that we can't actually read out.
Yeah. We're going to keep names out of this one because we actually forgot to ask if they wanted to be anonymous.
We have some we have a little audio clip as well that we're going to play. Again, the voice will be disguised for privacy reasons. Here we go. Should we read some out?
What did
you get in?
Okay, first one from a petty friend. It said, oh my god, Pride 2018, I was on another planet and had to do a gig the next morning. Rolled over into Sunday and told the company that I couldn't come in because some jealous trash pushed me down the stairs at user gig in Vicar Street because my outfit was stunned and I broke my ankle. Blatant Liza Minnelli. Oh, and shh, a girl's got to work again, so keep this on the down low.
So do we know this person?
Yes, I'm going to show you who it is.
Oh, okay.
You know who you are, hon.
You know who, shame, we know your name. I got one in from, let me see. This is from Anthony, actually. Anthony sent it. This isn't so bad. It was Anthony's first time taking part in the Pride Parade. And as they passed Trinity College, a dog shat and everyone cheered.
Oh. I love that.
Very good. And Stephen Dowling, actually DJ Stephen Dowling, said, the time I got so blackout drunk before DJing that I had to tell him coldly to sober up very badly. And he said, you know, it's a really bad situation when Davina Devine has to tell you to sober up.
Love that. Okay, next up is from my friend Russell from New York. I can't say his name because he won't care.
Okay.
Girl, my pride story. I saw someone inside a portable toilet get pushed over by their friends trying to rock it back and forth to be funny, I guess. They had to wait for a crew to come and lift it up to get them out. We call them the porta potties.
Love these.
It must have closed on the door, so then your man couldn't get out. But could you imagine all the shit that was inside it that fell out on top of him?
Portaloos are the worst, like at the best of times.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This is a message that came in. I won't actually say who it's from. Actually, will I?
Up to you.
We'll just say Zach, we'll say.
Okay.
And Zach said, oh my God, Pride 19. I got way too locked and ran away from every person that I knew and attempted to get a taxi going from Mother to our Pride party in Vicar Street. And then said in brackets, I think it was Vicar Street. Right? Woke up like 45 minutes later in Balls Bridge and the meter was still on €85.
Oh my God.
So the cunt had just been driving around with me fast asleep in the back. So I asked him to pull over so I could get cash out of the ATM and I legged him.
I love it.
You should have seen the runs me through Balls Bridge in my white booty shorts. Oh, iconic.
Yeah. I wish that was on CCTV. Yeah. I'd quite enjoy
seeing
that.
I'm sure it is somewhere. That's a good one, isn't it?
Yes. Holly Shortall just sent me a picture. She said, just saw you were looking for funny pride stories. And this is Holly going through the whole parade with her ACT UP sign upside down.
Oh.
It says, support people with HIV, but it's all upside down. So she must have carried the whole way through the parade upside down.
You think someone would have just told her.
Fair, very fair. Next up is... Got so drunk one year, I headed home with a Zaytoons at 4 p.m, fell asleep with the kebab in bed, woke up with said Zaytoons, and it was bright out, and the kebab was still warm, so I was like, hey, must have only been gone a few minutes. Ate the warm kebab, had a shower, headed back out, opened the front door, and it was actually dark. Then I realised it was actually the sensor light on the balcony that was on, and not the sun. It was in fact midnight, but I was fed and sober, so headed out to enjoy the rest of the night, and also... Did I mention I was in drag? Couldn't get the nails off, so I went back out with them on too. Like,
you know it's bad when the nails can't be removed.
Yeah, very true.
Okay, I have one here. Let me see. Was in the middle of shifting a face off some fella at Pride in 2018, and this Elwyn came up asking us for a light while I was playing tonsil tennis with some lad from Galway.
Yeah.
Should a little roly with her, to be honest, because he shifted like a wash machine that was in need of a Calgon.
Love that. Okay, I have one from one of my friends in Manchester who came for Dublin Pride 2 years ago. My Pride story, H&H means high and horny, it turns out, not hot and horny. The end. Happy Pride, Dublin. Coincidentally, the same letters for what I did that night. Happy DP. Happy Dublin Pride. We know what TP stands for. You dirty beggar.
Filth.
Filth. Let me see. Richard sent one in saying, great memories falling off the dragon float going over the River Liffey. But falling down, picking himself back up and running after the float, trying to get back on, being dragged up by the side of a truck. So,
oh my God, gas.
Gas. Charity from up north, Charity is a drag queen up there, said, I lost my phone at Belfast Pride and in the last pick that they had, the phone was in the hand.
Oh, stop. Right?
Then got into my mum's car for a lift home and wet myself in drag.
No. Oh, bless. That's awful. Wet myself in my mum's car. I'm in my mum's car.
Should I give you another one?
Yes.
So this is from Jack Fugley, and he said, worst grinder hookup of my life last year at Pride. Had to stop twice during to poo and bleed.
Oh, oh my god. Bless your little bum.
Oh my Bless god. So I got one in here from an unknown source. Ooh. Said, a pal dropped two yolks in a urinal at the block party. He double dropped. Both. No waste.
Oh my God, you disgusting bitch.
Let me see. I have another one here from Pleb. Said, my friend falling into the bushes in Stephen's Green while pissing, and I tripped over him looking for him.
Oh God.
Oh, this is a good one. I think a lot of people will relate to this.
Go on.
David sent this in. Waking up in Cassidy's hotel for the third year in a row with some randomer. Country gays. You gotta love it. You know, Cassidy's and Barry's hotel are always very popular for prides.
Yeah.
They're a certain caliber of establishment, let's just say.
Yeah.
Oh, Mizza actually texted in and told me to remind this one of... Mizza said, the time you, as in me, slapped the rugby player in the face.
Oh my God.
And I remember that the Emerald Warriors, now we're all very playful. Uh-huh. The Emerald Warriors were beside, we were waiting to go in the float.
Okay.
And he threw up the ball to me to catch, because they were playing catch in the crowd.
Yeah.
And I was like, and he broke my nail off, and I had these glam, like, bejeweled nails.
Oh, stop.
And it fell off, and I could see it on the ground because I was up on the truck, and I was like, yeah. Get that nail. Yeah. All these rugby players were like looking for my nails. So they picked up the nail and gave it back to me. When he gave it to me, I gave it a slap in the face. It was very playful and he laughed. Like, it was very funny.
Ladylike,
it was very funny.
Gosh.
So yeah, that was, but Mizza, she was like, they were hard. They were like,
you bitch.
But I knew the guys. It wasn't like it was just a random. It was a joke. Yeah. So I think we should finish on this one because it's particularly... Okay. Listenership discretion now is avoided. If you're a bit squeamish, listen away now. Mm-hmm. But it's
I'm ready. Davina sold good. Me this. Okay. Apparently, it's good. So
I'm going to play this for you now.
Okay, so 2016, I had a benign tumor removed from my bollocks. I was on the Tuesday. My friend said to me on the Saturday morning, "Hey, it's Dublin Pride. Do you want to take a spin to Dublin?" You know, I was like, "Oh, like I can't drink. I'll drive us up and down." I drove down. Walked around the George, met a couple of people, snogged one or two, then drove home 3 hours later on the M1 on the way up. Started to feel like I'd pissed myself, even though like I hadn't. Just started to feel really damp. Pulled into the Apple Green garage on the M1. Went into the disabled toilet, pulled my jeans down, and there was blood everywhere like a massacre. The stitches on my balls had split. Completely split. And the blood was just pissing out. Had to get my friend to go to the girl at the desk, ask for the first aid box, who then they wouldn't let her just take the first aid box. The woman behind the till had to come see. So there's me standing in the disabled toilet, trunks down, dick out, balls, spitting blood, burst surgery scar or wound. And the woman from Apple Green having to give me first aid. And then I had to go home. Drive the rest of the way home with my balls literally torn in half and go into hospital the next day, and they removed all of the stitches without anaesthetic, and for the next 3 months I had nothing to close that wound because it was infected now. And yeah, so for 3 months I had to irrigate my testicles, and it was all because of Dublin Pride.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. And also, just to follow up on that, in the Apple Green,
yeah,
one of the women ripped open a packet of sanitary pads.
A great idea. That's what I would have thought of too.
So fair play to the Apple Green staff. Yeah. They were like thinking on their
That's
feet.
That's going above and beyond for your customer. Yeah, do you know what I mean? Like, I hope he at least bought a chicken fillet roll after like all of
That's
that.
A nice Apple Green as well. It's on the M1, isn't it?
Yeah. I do. Like, that's, even if I don't need diesel, I always
But
stop.
I tell you this now. Yeah, every time I will be in that Apple Green again, I will always think about that.
Oh my God.
Possibly every time I think see an Apple Green. Possibly. How'd you like those apples?
That's too much. Okay guys, thank you so much for sharing your stories. We absolutely loved them. It'd been a while since we've done something like this, and I missed it.
And we do love the voice clips, so if we're ever doing things like this, do send us in your voice clips, because I feel like if it's your own personal story, you will deliver it so much better than we will. So keep those petty stories coming in.
Keep them coming in. But
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We'll be back right after this with our little big interview.
Okay, guys, we're joined by two very special guests. Now, we're taking a bit of a curveball.
We're going where possibly no drag queen has gone before.
Yes, and that is to the sports arena. And we are joined by Irish sports stars Nikki Simmons and David Goff. How are you guys?
Great, thank you.
Great, thanks for having us.
So you're both joining us. Nikki, I know you're over. You're in Europe. Are you in Switzerland or are you in France?
I'm in France right now, actually.
Oh, she's moving around. She's traveling the globe. And David, you're in Dublin, aren't you?
I'm in Dublin, yeah. Boring weather.
Yeah, warm. I know. It's very clammy day today. Listen, like you guys, of course, we've been Pride Month. And I think, you know, everything is talking. We're talking about gays in all aspects of life and all fragments of our society. And I suppose I saw you guys on TV at the weekend and you guys were talking about LGBT inclusion in sports. Mm-hmm. And it was just something that I didn't really...
Touched a nerve in Davina because she picked up the phone to me and she was like, oh, that story was really great. I really enjoyed that segment that they do. Now, I'm going to put it out there. I have only done one thing in sport and that was score an own goal. And I played for the C team in a team called Park Celtic, which I'll get into more later. So, like, this is a whole new arena for us. But what I think is great about Pride Month is education, conversation. Mm-hmm. And that sounds to me like what you guys is a big part of what you're both trying to achieve. Davina, you caught the TV interview.
I did. I think we should kind of get into, like, maybe just tell us a little bit about your career and kind of what, like, your role in sports as well. Nikki, if you want to start, like, and just tell us a little bit about your background.
Sure. Thank you again for having us on. It's great. And, you know, we do have to shine light on all areas and sport and corporate world and of course your world as well and music and entertainment, and it's really great to have us on the show to talk about it a bit. I'm a former international hockey player. I always have to say field hockey when I'm over here because they always think ice hockey straight away. So field hockey, but to you Irish is hockey. Played for many years on the Irish team, traveled the world. And I came out when I was like 21 to my family and friends. And my family, I was very lucky, and it's not the same for everybody, right? I was very lucky. My family were very welcoming. And yeah, it took a little bit of time to get used to, but after that, they were very welcoming. And of course, sport. So hockey was also a very inclusive sport already. Mm-hmm. So again, lucky that I was there. And I think David has a little bit of a different journey. But then I decided to come out publicly in 2014, I think it was, when I was 31, just as I retired, to try and raise and shine a light on sports people who are gay, who are out, and trying to at least help one person to make them feel more comfortable. I think that was a responsibility I had. I felt that it was the time. I was quite well known in the sporting world at the time, so I thought it was a good time to come out. And there's not many. I was the first gay woman to come out in sport, even though there's lots. It's just not in public. So I just felt it was time to do it. And I think I still get messages now to say thank you for doing that. It's really helped me. So I think even if you have one person, and that's my journey. I'm now in Switzerland. I did a sports master's over here, worked in the sports world, and where I found it quite tricky as well for diversity inclusion, and I wanted to do more in that. And I felt it was better to go away from sport. So I started working in the corporate world, trying to do more in there, and I found the same issues there. So I'm doing a lot of work in the corporate world, but I'm able to kind of talk more about sport now I'm not working in it, which is strange, you think, but sometimes it's better to come from the outside and try and change things. Mm-hmm. So that's where I'm at right now.
Amazing.
That road to coming out publicly while playing sport, was that something you really had to think about, or was it just a no-brainer for you?
Oh, it was a no-brainer, really. I think if the opportunity came, Second Captain's a great show for sport, and it was a live show. It was amazing. It was great to be part of it. And I was on there with Donal Cusack as well, so a famous star from GAA GAA, which David well knows well. So yeah, I mean, it was great to be on there with him, and he was the first, I think, first openly gay man to come out and support in Ireland anyway. So it was great to be there with him and talk about it with him and other sports stars, because we do have the differences between gender as well, which we did speak a little bit about on the show the other day.
Totally. And David, tell us a little bit about your background and kind of your area of expertise, your field. Pardon the pun.
Well, not too unlike Nikki. I was born into sport. I grew up in Slane in County Meath and played Gaelic from the age of 7 and tennis. I had an older brother, he's 11 months older than me. We're Irish twins, 11 months between us.
So, I love that. I never heard that. No, I love that.
No, that's brilliant. So whatever he was playing, I was playing. We were on the same teams, and we grew up playing football together. Yeah. And it was just what you did in the village. Like, I mean, there was nothing else for us to do. So I became heavily involved with GAA, and I stayed involved with it the whole way through secondary school and college, university. And that's when I started refereeing and finding a little bit more out about my sexuality. And the refereeing kind of lent itself to allowing me get out of the dressing room environment that I was finding difficult at the time with the lads, because I didn't want to tell them that, you know, that I was gay. So I kind of started going down the field of refereeing and really enjoying it. And one thing led to another, and I ended up probably, you know, becoming one of the top level referees in the country. But in the meantime, trying to come to terms with my sexuality outside of the, we'll call it the dressing room environment with the lads. So I had a very private coming out in 2011 with my family when I was 27 years of age. And it took me another 4 years, actually just in the run up to the referendum, before I had the very public coming out after a match in Croke Park, where I tried to wear the wristband. Mm-hmm. And like what Nikki said, I just felt there was an onus on me to take a stand and be that visible person within the GA, because I never wanted anyone to go through what I went through growing up. I really felt that nobody should ever have to go through that again, and that the GAA is such a big organization in Irish sports, and that it permeates every level of society all around the country, no matter your social class or your religion. And I kind of thought, you know, the GAA has a part to play in this. It is a huge part of Irish sport, and there are no openly gay people in there, males.
Yeah.
So I just kind of felt a little bit of an onus on me to start that discussion. And I suppose it's just snowballed since then. I mean, it's just one thing has led to another and to another. And I am where I am, and I'm glad that I took the stand in 2015.
Yeah, when I was watching you guys talk on the weekend when I saw you on TV, like, what kind of struck me as well is that how, like, it there is such a gender divide, isn't there? And there's a how kind of it has been so, kind of similar experience, but also quite different as well. Like,
yeah, like I mean, I would have had no role models growing up. And I know Nikki often spoke about role models. Like, I watched tennis. We had Martina Navratilova, Billie Jean King, Amelie Mauresmo. But even now to this day, if you ask any males out there to name 5 openly gay male athletes worldwide, they'd struggle.
Absolutely.
And that's horrible. That's absolutely dreadful. I mean, we have 32 counties in this country. That's 64 hurling teams and football teams. We've League of Ireland, we've rugby, we've hockey.
Yeah.
You know, it's incredible. And there's nobody openly gay. Mm. And as a young person growing up, if you cannot see those people in sporting societies, well, then you're not going to feel that you're can be part of it. So that's why I feel there's a huge onus. But Nikki can talk a bit about, you know, the females. It's a little bit more different.
Yeah, I think like growing up, it was like, you know, especially when I'm 38 now. So like when I was starting, it was very much, if you're muscly, if you're strong, if you play sport, you must be a lesbian, right? A lot of the time.
That's you said that actually on the TV. Like, I remember when I first came out, like, because we're all in the same age category, girls. Just
we just lie about ours.
Yeah, we just lie about it.
We paused at about 29 a decade ago.
We've been 29 for about 10 years. But what I remember when I was first coming out, I had a lot of lesbian friends at the start, and a lot of them played for Dublin, like football teams, and it was almost like I was kind of shook by their openness at that time. Like, there was it was like they just kind of, they were like, oh yeah, she's gay, and that was just the way it was. And even, you know, I think because when you grow up like, you know, a gay boy in school or whatever, and you just, you know, gay in sports isn't necessarily kind of going hand in hand. So, so that to me was quite refreshing. To see women like that. But then on the flip side, what you're saying, David, is it's like I have never seen, or you know, I know a couple of, you know, down low, should I say, kind of people like that are on GA teams or football teams, and they really do struggle. So I found that quite interesting.
Yeah, that's why we need to talk about it more, and more people need to be visible, as David said, like, because, yeah, I mean, you just mentioned it there, like, it was just normal kind of for you to be gay as a woman, but it was never publicly seen. And also, we had the opposite, where I know in my club, like, there was a few on my club in Loretto, and some parents didn't want to send their girls to play with us because it was like the gay team, and like our kids would turn gay. So we had the kind of opposite. It was like shaming us to be, because you were out and you were just yourself. And it was quite the opposite. There was quite a lot. And I think that happens often in sport, women's sport. The cricket club was the same. At one stage, we had parents who didn't want to send to the cricket club I was playing. So a very different experience.
Yeah, it's kind of
Nikki.
Yeah, go ahead, David. Yeah, go on.
Sorry, Nikki, there must be a huge difference between the culture that exists in female dressing rooms and male dressing rooms, because I mean, we're 6 years down the line from when I took my stance. Why is it that nobody felt comfortable coming out, having seen that, you know, it didn't affect me at all, and I got to where I am with no issues around my sexuality, but yet seemingly within the dressing room environment in male sports, it just doesn't seem to be a welcoming environment or culture there for people to feel comfortable coming out. And I guess female dressing rooms are just that little bit different.
We're seeing the likes of Aviva do campaigns such as Lace Up with Pride this season, and from what I'm aware, they're encouraging sports stars to wear the rainbow laces and put out a statement like that. Are things like that a sign that things are moving in the right directions and conversations and educations are happening in these sports environments?
Well, I'll start with that one, because last year in December, we had for the first time ever GAA championship matches in Croke Park. We don't have that at that late in the year. And it tied in nicely with the Sky Sports and UK Rainbow Laces campaign. So for the first time ever last year, footballers from Tipperary and Mayo, including myself, I was refereeing, wore the rainbow laces. And it was great, because it didn't need to be me. Everybody expected me to wear them, but it was nice to have the allies, the Aidan O'Shea's, the Killian O'Connor's, the boys put on the rainbow laces to say, well, look, we support this. We're allies to this cause, and this is fantastic. So I think stuff like that is hugely important. Not that I wear them, because that's expected, but that allies wear them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I sent them to my whole family actually last year.
Oh, wow.
I even got kids ones for the kids, and you can get transgender ones as well.
That's,
I got
amazing.
Some of them. And my brother-in-law, Tony O'Donoghue, I don't know if you've heard of him from RTE, he's a sports broadcaster, he posted the other day actually he was wearing them playing football. So everyone's getting into it, but it's not always the case. Like internationally, if I can speak a little bit about that, like working in the International Federation, it's very different, because then you have rules so set by the Olympic Committee about no political statements, all of these things. We were asked many.
Oh, she's frozen.
It's okay. I'll come back in a second. That's okay. She might.
That's okay. No, what she's saying is really right, because the
kids and they want us to support.
Sorry, Nikki, you just froze there. Can you just say, just from when you were saying from the international side, just the rules and regulations, that's it, you just froze. missed it. So just go from there.
So from an international perspective, international federations, it's very different, because it goes into political standing, and the IOC have rules for that. So you have to be careful. And we've been asked many times, and we were when I worked there many times, to wear laces or to wear the armbands, and we weren't allowed because it showed a political statement. And it's something that needs to change. And it's, again, the responsibility of the international federations. And on top of that, where we host events, the International Hockey Federation have just said they're going to host an event in Oman. And you can imagine what happened when they announced that. So things like that is just, that's what I'm trying to shine a light on now internationally as well, because when we choose where we have events, like football is the same, going to Russia, going to all these places, it's just not good enough. I know there's a lot more to it than just that. You've got money, you've got sponsors, you've got broadcasters, you've got multiple things that I'm well aware of, but they need to think about it and they need to understand that it's not okay. And if they stand to that, then, you know, it does shift the country. It's the same in the corporate world. If the big companies change their views, the countries can start to think as well, you know.
And David, it's so interesting. I feel like I'm learning so much because people, like, especially two drag queens aren't well versed in this. So it is learning. But David, like, you kind of came, like, there was headlines over when the marriage referendum was coming out and you wanted to wear the coloured wristband kind of in support of that. Tell us a little bit about that, because that was like headline news.
It was a stressful week in the run-up to it, first of all, because I had to tell my board of management that I was going to do it. And luckily enough, Tony Holohan, the CMO that you'd see on the news every evening at the moment, he was the chairperson of my board of management. And I was technically working illegally in the school at the time then, because I contravened the Catholic ethos of the school. And he said, no, go ahead, do it. And initially, Croke Park said, go ahead and do it. Even though people inside in Croke Park didn't want me to do it, they said, look, go ahead. So I did the story with The Independent, and it was supposed to be a very small story.
Sorry, David, just like Nikki was saying there about the rules and regulations and stuff like that. So, like, is that because the GAA is such a big kind of organisation, is that they can't be seen to be leaning one way or another? Is that what that was kind of, there was a bit of controversy because of that?
That was what they came out with at the end. The day of the match, they said, wear it in the dressing room, not onto the pitch. And I said, absolutely not. And they said, well, wear it from the dressing room out to the white line, but don't walk onto the pitch.
Okay.
And I said, that's ridiculous. And then they said, don't wear it at all, because it's making a political statement in a referendum that we can't support or be seen to support. And as I said at the time, you know, well, if I'm a referee and I can't uphold the association's rules, well, then who can? So I held my hands up and said, fine. But it ended up on the front page of the Sunday Independent the next day, which was a huge shock, because it was only supposed to be a small little piece in the sports section. And it was because the GAA came down so hard on it. And I mean, I suffered as a result afterwards with my appointments. I was sent to from Division One matches in Sky Sports and Croke Park down to matches that were like completely meaningless, that were well below my capabilities. And they were letting me know, it was like, you know, we control where you go, we'll control your career, and if you shine a bad light on us again, we'll finish it.
That's
you
awful.
That was dreadful.
Yeah, that's horrible.
I'm actually shocked by that. Mm. I mean, like, I was thinking about our own journey with sport, which, to be honest, we found it a little bit... I was so nervous in sport, like, as a young person, and I do question, while talking to you guys here, if there had been some key out people in sports that I was being pushed into in school, would I maybe have thought, you know, okay, maybe it is for me. Do you know what I mean? There's similar people like me, and I know you kind of the same journey with sport. Like, we ran away from that kind of like OTT masculine energy that was out there. It just was so daunting that it would have been nice, right?
Absolutely. Like, I think by you doing that, Dave, and wearing that wristband, I think that was, like, I know you were saying it was only supposed to be a small piece, but were you delighted in one way that it got so much media attention?
I wasn't at the time, because I wasn't used to media attention at the time. Okay. It was the first time I'd ever gotten scrutiny like that before. Yeah. But looking back on it now, I can see how it was really a watershed moment for LGBT issues within the GAA. Yeah. And I'm glad I took the opportunity at the time to take the stance, because look where we are now. Like, we've walked in pride.
Yeah.
We have a diversity and inclusion officer in the GAA. We're wearing rainbow laces. Mm. Next week, I haven't told anyone this yet, but Super Value are launching their championship ad, and it's usually around community and being based in the community. This year's championship ad is fully based on diversity and inclusion.
Brilliant.
And it's fantastic. And that's a huge step in the right direction for the GAA. And the GAA pushed it.
Yeah.
Super Value can come to them looking for it. The GAA went to Super Value and said, this year's campaign, we want diversity and inclusion.
That's amazing.
Which is amazing.
It's so good. I feel like as Ireland as a company, or as a country, I feel like we're very slow. But once we kind of start making moves, we move very fast.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's, I think things seem to catch on quick. That's pretty amazing, I have to say. And I think by you wearing that wristband and holding your guns, I think that's so admirable. I think it's brilliant.
Amazing, because it's so hard. You need those people to step and just do it. And it's really difficult. And that's the problem. People shy away from it because of that, right? You don't know what's going to happen afterwards. Mm-hmm. But to be so brave and confident in yourself, and do it. It is something incredible.
Totally. And Nikki, where do you think things need to kind of go? What do you think is the next step in kind of moving things forward?
Well, there's so much happening in sports now because you have so many more transgender athletes as well. Yeah. So there's another step we start, you know, we have to keep going and there's a lot more coming. And it's not just in Ireland, but internationally and in all different sports, like what's going to happen. And the international federations, the IOC, don't have a good enough grab on it at the moment. They just don't know what to do. And you see that with World Rugby. World Rugby have banned all athletes, transgender athletes. But there's become up against a lot of backlash for that. There's a lot of campaigns against it, but they're standing ground and they're trying to keep it in there. And it's really crazy. And you also see in athletics, you have intersex athletes as well, which is a huge thing. Castra Semeja, I don't know if you know her, but she had a big case. She's been gone to all the different courts that she can go to try and compete again as an intersex athlete, which is incredibly strong of her. And I literally get goosebumps every time I talk about that. So you need to go and have a look at that story, because we need more allies. And even within our community, you know that well enough, we need all of our community to get behind all of the members of us, you know, because otherwise, if we start segregating, which is happening in the UK, which is terrible as well, can also talk for hours about that. Everyone is splitting up and we can't do that. Like, we were already, it's hard enough. Why would we
Totally. And David, you were saying, like, just with all the adversity and stuff, I think with like big organizations like the FAI, the GA, and all those organizations, like when you kind of stood at your ground, the base, you know, they could make life difficult for you. So do you think that stops people kind of, you know, or makes people feel a bit unsafe? Do you know that kind of way? Like their
100%.
Career.
And I'll remove the GA from it just for a moment and talk about the other ones. They're professional sports. The GA is not professional.
Yeah.
But they are professional sports. So if you look at a professional footballer and he's paid hundreds of thousands to perform for a team and he comes out as gay, but potentially he's going to cause an issue. You don't know what the other attitudes of 20 other players in that dressing room are. Yeah. The manager might not appreciate it. It's going to cause a rift possibly in the dressing room. We don't know. Mm-hmm. The player gets sold on. Is someone else going to want to buy him a different club? You know, and all that pressure comes on him. It's his job. It's his full-time job. Mm-hmm. And if you were made feel unwelcome as a LGBT person in your workspace, you wouldn't come out openly. Yeah. And sports is no different, professional sports in that regard. So that's probably why we don't see as many. But they can make your life really, really difficult.
Yeah.
But it's only in policy and procedure, because really, when you get to know the people in the associations, they're fully behind the LGBT issues.
Yeah.
Most of them have family members that are part of our community, and they just want things to move on. And as you said, Ireland is moving at a rapid pace. It is a small country, and change can be affected very, very quickly because of that.
Yeah. And one thing that I just, as you were talking, I just was thinking as well, like, you guys are out on the pitch and you're in front of, like, you're basically like really fit drag queens. You know, you're out.
Not anymore.
You're out there.
Have your move.
You're out there on the front line. And, you know, when you do come out, or when you're openly gay, have you had any backlash from, like, supporters, or have you had any incidences where things have been not so savoury? Or
even social media, because to be honest, with the way the last year has gone, me and Davina, we were kind of bitter at one point that we weren't getting back to work, and we saw GA were getting back to doing some things, and we got a bit of a backlash on Twitter from the GA community about that, and I have to say, I can't imagine how it was when you were like front of the paper, because Twitter was really big then too, and social media has massive effects on different people.
So when you went out on the pitch, was there any, did you ever face any adversity on that side of things?
It's funny that you got the backlash, because I've always said the two biggest lobbying groups within this country are the gays and the GAA. Like, the most powerful lobbying group.
Yeah.
So you two going up against one another is hilarious.
Yeah.
I had one incident, and it was based around a refereeing decision that I made incorrectly that I didn't know, and I got a bit of homophobic abuse coming off the pitch. Okay. I highlighted it, and it hasn't happened since. And thankfully, nobody bothers because of my sexuality. I'm now in a position where people know that's David Goff, the referee. It's not David Goff, the gay referee, which is a great position to be in. And I am happy. They know I'm gay, but it's not the tagline that's used with me. And there's not much, I have to be honest, when people ask, is there homophobia in the GA? I can't say I've really experienced it for, on the field as a referee or among the players. There's just total respect there for me. So I feel very fortunate. Nikki, I don't know about you in your career with hockey. Did it rear its head?
No, not really. I mean, we never had massive crowds or anything like that. Foreign crowds, yes, but nothing ever came from that. Like, only thing was what I said earlier was with parents potentially, you know, not sending, which we heard, which was really hurtful because nothing about that. Like, they were, you know, we were the best club in the country at the time. And it's like, you don't want your kid to come and like learn from the best players who are playing in that international team. And because of that, like, so that did hurt a lot. But apart from that, like on social, not so much. I don't think I've had much, a lot of support mainly. And I think you just have to look at that, right? And even as an athlete, you're constantly looked at and used to get comments about how you played more than, and you had to just try and ignore that and look at the good things. And, you know, we had some coaches telling us not to look at some things and social media in particular. But yeah, apart from that, I've not had any, but that really hurt, I think, with the parents and people not wanting to come to the club because of that. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, right. So small-minded.
It's not. Listen, guys, thanks a million for coming to join us. I think, you know, we've covered kind of everything and it's been very interesting. Mm-hmm. I feel like we've learned a lot.
Before you go, I need to tell you that the hurling helmets in my school were about 40 years old. And that was also a part of why I didn't like sport in the school, because I know how many heads had been inside those hurling helmets. So maybe... maybe I could have been a huge sports star if they just had had clean helmets. Do you know what I mean?
I don't think your hair would have fit into it.
No, definitely. Now we wear different kind of helmets now. We wear hair helmets. Listen, it's been education. It's been an education, and it's been amazing to talk to you. And can you tell people maybe how they could find you if they want to see you on social media or give us your Twitter handles or Instagrams?
I'm David Goff 2 on Instagram and on Twitter, where I'm a little bit more active. There it's at Goff, GOUGHD4.
Okay, so that's where you can find David. That's where the gays will be, with the gays and the GA will be all mixed in David's page. So, Nikki, tell us a little bit about yours.
It's Nick Simmons, so NikSymmons. And that's my handle on Twitter and Instagram and LinkedIn as well. If you're ever on LinkedIn, I post a lot about different things happening in the world there. If that's something that's interesting for you, so you can learn a bit more.
Brilliant. Well, listen, guys, thanks very much for joining us today. We so appreciate it.
And just in general, I mean, we need more people like you guys speaking out and just like making people think in general.
And it's like what you said, it's like, you know, I think Pride is the time when conversations need to be having. And like the sporting community as well, like there is a crossover. I think a lot of gays don't associate gay people with sports. Mm. And there is, to break down that stigma, and the conversation should keep going. So,
We all end up in the George watching you guys.
I know, on a Sunday night.
Well, I tell you, it's like, you know, like a Sunday out for the gays is like a GA match to the straights, isn't it?
Yeah,
so.
Very true.
Absolutely. Well, I get it on the double. I get my Sunday GA match and I get bingo.
You're
in,
just a greedy.
Oh,
you're just a greedy bitch, David. Listen, thanks a million, guys.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Bye.
So welcome back. We never say so welcome back, by the way. I love saying so welcome back, even though you've gone nowhere.
We've been sitting here for hours.
Hours. It is time for everyone's favorite time of the week.
Rotter of the week on Petty Little Things.
I love Rotter of the Week team tune, by the way.
I love Rotter of the Week team tune. Team tune.
Oh, Petty Little Things.
Sang to team tune.
Okay, so I think we're going to get into it. And there's been a couple of things rotting me this week. So I've narrowed it down.
Okay.
And I'm trying to keep these light because there's a lot of heavy things that have been rotting me.
Yeah. Mine are light too.
First things that has been rotting me is Dublin Bikes.
Oh, yeah.
Dublin Bikes?
Yeah, recalled.
Yeah, so I signed up to their e-bike scheme because I am that lazy lady.
And you were very excited about this.
But in theory, the battery... So basically, Dublin Bikes launched battery-operated bikes and just to give you that extra little push around town. And I wasn't really sure how it was going to work. So they send you out this battery. You get this battery, which looked like an iPhone 1.
Yeah. Space is huge. I saw it. It was huge.
A huge big brick. They send that out to you. That's in your possession and you charge it. You're in charge of your own charging. So you do that and you pop it into the front basket of the bike.
Mm.
And I was dying to try it. I was like, oh, because I love a little jaunt around town from A to B. And it's like someone kind of pushing you on the bike. You're just like whizzing along.
Love that though.
Love it. Yeah. And then I was like, oh, I don't think it actually makes a difference. And then I got a bike that didn't have it. And I was like, oh,
you
God.
Were fucked,
I was fucking wrecked. And the weight of those bikes, they're like cycling a tank.
Yeah, I can
imagine. Know what I mean? Very heavy.
Yeah.
So got this email to say that the batteries have been a really dodgy batch. Could they be recalled? And I just ignored the email. I was like, oh, here we go, whatever. And there was a link that post office can send it back. So there's a grand.
You're not taking my battery.
Yeah, I was just like, oh, whatever. Like, that's not my, it's not like essential business. So then they rang me the next day because I didn't respond to the email. So I missed the call. I don't answer private numbers, so I was like, I'm not answering that.
Fucking somebody in admin.
They rang me four
you.
Times that day, and I was like, oh, this must be important. So I answered it. And they were like, hi, Dublin Bikes here. We need the battery back. I was like, is it going to explode or something? Like, why is it so urgent that you get this battery back? But they got the battery back in the end. But they were like, no, there's no guarantee of when it's going to be back or when the battery service will be back. Or you
so
know.
Now you have to cycle like a normal person again.
Yeah, now I'm back on foot.
Oh,
and boots on the ground.
Sake.
Boots on the ground.
No. Well, you won't get me on a
this
bike.
This Dublin
anyway.
Bike is not on the Dublin bikes.
Okay, mine is very general, this first one.
Okay. Do they still say okr?
No, I think Khloe Kardashian does. But my first one is baby voices. Grown adult people that use baby voices to talk to you. So like, because they want you to listen or they want you to think that they're like not trying to do something when actually they're trying to steal your lunch money. So that kind of way, like that's a very like.
Okay, I don't think I've experienced this. Oh.
Yeah. So you have.
I have experienced.
So you know exactly what I mean. Okay. It actually comes across as condescending in a weird way because you're like, you're trying to have me on here.
I think when people do that though, I think it's more about them.
Oh, okay.
It's their uncomfortableness.
Okay.
So they think if they're put up this kind of innocent, oh, but I didn't know.
Yeah. You're selling
not Snow White,
anything.
Bitch.
We don't buy it.
No.
And it sounds creepy.
Mm.
And this is as somebody who's currently reading books to children on YouTube in like a voice to be like, you know, like
what
Disney.
Is your story time voice? Do you have one?
Oh, so I start everyone by going, by the way, go check them out if you haven't, by going, and what am I wearing today?
Oh, God. How gross.
Because I'm picking like the most like, you know, colorfully bits. Oh, though my whole wardrobe's a bit mad. So like, so yeah. So that's my reading voice.
Oh, my God. Horrific.
Because reading is what? Oh. For children's books.
Yeah.
Come on. What's your next one?
My second one is the local elections are happening.
Oh, didn't even know.
Yes. They're canvassing all around my area. Mm. All the political parties and the independents and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And I'm so deflated with politics after this whole pandemic and all. It's just, I just, you know, and I was so up for the last elections. I was excited about it. Felt like there was a buzz. Felt like might have a bit of change. No, nothing changed. So I don't really care.
Yeah. Right. So you're like, what difference is it going to make?
So they've always been coming around and I always find, this is the petty bitch in me, is that if you're having a bad day, they're the people you can take it out on when they come to your door.
Yeah.
You can just unload and you don't even have to make sense because you're in your own home, so you can just let rip of them. So a couple of them I was just like, you know I was using them as my COVID frustration targets. Okay. And one person in particular came along, well, it was actually someone canvassing on behalf of this candidate.
Okay.
And this woman came to the door and she was like, oh, we're canvassing for such and such, I won't say who it is.
Mm.
And I said, oh, I know her really well, right?
Yes.
And she goes, oh. And I said, yeah. I said, yeah, she's got my vote. Yeah, she got, because I was just like, basically, fuck
just
off.
Get them away.
Just go away.
Yeah, totally.
And she's like, oh, do you? Well, I have this limited edition poster.
You're lying.
Yeah. Like, she goes, last one. And I went, oh, really? And they were like, you could put it up in your window. And I said, oh, okay. So she gives it to me. And I was like, that's going to look great in my bin. And I closed the door.
You're a witch. You're a hag. I can't believe it did that.
And I kept her all the way. I was just like, fuck off.
Oh,
like,
God.
Just, they're canvassing like mad. They're
just,
knocking all
just
the time.
To be clear, though, it's the recycle bin, right?
I am a big recycler.
Yeah, you are.
I do like recycling. So yeah, so I was like, that's gonna look great in my bin. And you, she thought I was gonna put meanie. Imagine I was gonna put it in the fucking window. Oh, like, vote for blah. No, no matter how I felt about it,
blah,
I
will, blah, blah.
Vote for blah blah blah.
Oh my god, you wish.
So yeah, did you like that?
I really enjoyed that.
I know it's so sick. It is like the, what would you say, the masochist in me, but it's like, just, it's a nice way to vent.
You're a naughty bitch. So my next one, well, my last one is people who do OnlyFans who are now getting into doing a bit of drag as well. I'm like, girl, choose your own lane.
Okay.
Like, this is my lane. Get out my lane.
Okay, so drags and OnlyFans.
No, no, no. So they were doing OnlyFans.
Okay.
And now they're getting into drags. And I know exactly what it was. And I'm just going to say it. I was drunk. And I noticed that one or two of them from Slag Wars who were doing the OnlyFans, and now you're doing drag as well?
Oh, okay.
And I was like, how many different lanes are we going to try here?
It's a lot of just attention-based, though, isn't it?
Okay. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah. Like, it's just kind of another avenue to get attention.
That was a drunk rotter, though. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? You're like, you know, you've had your glass of wine, and you're like, here, now you're doing this as well?
I always think about, you know, all these like mask lads that sometimes get put in drag.
Yeah.
And they love it.
Love it.
Like, they love it, but they're so internally kind of homophobic in other ways.
Yeah.
There's so many of them, and they're big like beauts.
And they fancy themselves in drag.
And they think that, and there's something a bit more, they're more invested in it sometimes than we will be.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? There's some repressed like femininity there that makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Because it's so, what would you say, it's so hidden.
Yeah.
Like, and it's just, and then they have this weird outwardly masculine energy that's kind of like,
it's, you lads, come on.
Yeah, it's very, very, it's a strange one.
Yeah, we've put some straight guys into drag before, and like the reaction is always not what
I'm not talking about. I'm talking about gay guys though.
Oh, okay.
I'm talking about gay guys that like are big, like muscle lads, and they try drag.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden they're like, oh, I'm fish and I'm this and I'm that. And you're just like,
yeah.
You know who? Do you know who I'm talking about?
Yeah.
There's a couple of them, but there's an energy.
Yo, we need to charge for the looks that me and Tina give during like these whole episodes.
There's an energy. Because do you know what is what? Because they're the kind of people, they'd never date a drag queen.
Yeah.
They'd never, you know, be with someone like that, and it's not their type. And if that's okay, they can, because that's not their type. But at the same time, they think they're fab, and it's like they can, if it's a real drag queen working, it's kind of looked down on.
Once they get in those tights, girl.
Yeah.
That's it.
Legends in their own tights.
That's it. Well, that was our Rotters of the Week. If you found yourselves on it, we're not sorry in any way.
Sorry, not sorry.
But that brings us to the end of our episode. We hope you enjoyed it. It is Pride Month. We wanted to do a mixture of like fun and education. And I think we got there with the interviews that you lined up, Dee.
Yes, enjoy our Patreon episodes that are available on patreon.com/pettylittlethings. And do remember, just share the podcast. And I know some of you actually have messages saying that they have shared it.
Yeah, thank you.
We can see the proof. The proof is in the pudding. So thank you very much for doing that. And keep on sharing. Sharing is caring.
And leave us a 5-star review because we are 5-star divas, bitch. So get on to Apple Podcasts. Leave us a 5-star review or anywhere else that will let you leave a review.
Yes, happy Pride Month, everybody. And remember, stay petty.
Stay petty. I forgot to say it there. This is something that you say, stay petty.
It's like, okay.
See you all, bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.